Indeed, all praise belongs to Allah the Most High. We thank him and we seek his aid and we seek his forgiveness. And we seek refuge with him from the evil of ourselves and from our bad actions. Whoever Allah guides, then there's no one who can mislead him, and whoever Allah causes to go astray, there's no one to guide him. I bear witness that there is no deity except Allah who is unique and without partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his worshiper and his messenger. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him and his family and his companions and those who follow them with good intentions until the day of judgment. O you who believe, fear Allah as he should be feared and don't die except as Muslims. Again, O you who believe, fear Allah as he should be feared and don't die except as Muslims. And O mankind, be careful of your duty to your Rabb who created you from a single soul and from it created its mate, and from the two of them spread forth many men and women. Be careful of your duty to Allah whom you demand your mutual rights, and be careful of your duty to the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is our Raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and always speak the truth. He will cause your deeds to be beneficial, and he will forgive for you your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and his messenger, then he has truly achieved a tremendous accomplishment. And indeed, the best speech is the book of Allah, and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the most evil of all affairs are newly invented matters which has no precedence in Islam. And indeed, all of the innovations are astray, and each astray is in the hellfire. And O Allah, save us from it. O Allah, accept our dua. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Allah says, from among you there should be a party who invite to good and enjoin what is wrong and forbid, enjoin what is right and forbid the wrong. And these, it is those who are to be successful. Again, and among you, there should be a party who invite to good and enjoin what is right and forbid the wrong. And these, it is that shall be successful. And when we look at, again, this particular ayat, again, you're talking about 1,400 years ago this ayat was revealed. And we're in the Gregorian 21st century. Is that ayat still relevant? Is that ayat still something that we need to be looking towards, being of those who enjoin what is good and forbid what is wrong? And one of the things that I've been reflecting on, like specifically this week, because this weekend there'll be a celebration on Al-Hajj Malik al-Shabazz, Rahimullah Malcolm X, and many people who are not yet Muslim, they honor him. And so we have to look at ways that, we can basically not only honor him and honor his legacy, but recognize that his legacy was one of Islam, and it was similar to the many people who are African descendants from slaves, journey from slavery to Islam. That's if you look at his life, it was similar to what we all went through, the whole struggle that he went through. We again been trying to get back for those of us who are descendants of enslaved people for hundreds of years. Again, Islam was just one of the many cultural practices among the enslaved people when our ancestors arrived in this country. Even in my own family, trace it back to the 1700s. And so, for many of you, you have to go back and look at what was going on. And then and when you look at the tribes that my family on both my mother's and father's side came from, these tribes were majority Muslim. So many, Muslims were amongst the enslaved, the captives. And so some of them even continued to practice Islam in captivity. And there's a book by Sylvain Diop, the Senegalese scholar. It's called African Muslims Among American Slaves. And some of the names that we hear, Omar ibn Said, Abdul Rahman, Bilali Muhammad. And so they're documented, and there are many, many more, many, many more. And so we have to basically, reflect on the fact that, there are some scholars who say that we are the answer to the people the Muslims who were enslaved, during that time. They were making do with it, that the people that come behind them will be Muslim. And so we have to recognize that our reversion to Islam is not an accident. Everything was already written. As Allah says, that the pen has been lifted. the pen has been lifted and the ink is dry. So we have to recognize that, you know, if we are Muslim, are we going to practice Islam as a religion, or are we going to practice Islam as a deen? If we're practicing Islam as a religion, yeah, we just, you know, go to Juma, you know, go to fast Ramadan and come to the mosque sometime. But if we're practicing Islam as a deen, it is a complete way of life in your personal life, in your professional life. When people are around you and when you're alone, the Islam will be there. You know, we have to basically start to internalize. It goes to our bone marrow, you know, and it takes time. Specifically for those brothers and sisters who are just coming to Islam, don't do the microwave thing. Take your time. Learn your religion. Learn the aspects of it. Learn the basics, the fundamentals. And then once you have that fundamentals, it's just like when you're building a building. You put the foundation in first, and then you put the building on top of the foundation. But if you have a weak foundation, then that building will crumble. So we want to build a strong foundation. Learn the basics of Salat. You know, learn the seerah of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his companions, and the struggles that they went through. Because if you look at the lifestyle of the people during the Prophet's time and before the Prophet's ascension, you can look at how rough their life was. They were some of the roughest people on the planet at that time. You know, crooks and, you know, murderers and everything, burying the children alive, all of that. Even some of the Prophet's closest companions. But Allah took those people and made them of the people who enjoined the right and forbid the wrong. And if he could do that to those people, he can do that to us. Because again, because of the scars and of slavery, what's the scholar, Joy DeGruy talks about the post-slave syndrome. You know, we have basically increased incarceration. We have attraction to criminality, addictions, and all of that, and dysfunctional familial types of arrangements. And so, you know, and again, the Prophet, peace be upon him, was an orphan. And so if, again, Allah can raise those people, he can raise us. Because you can see what's going on in this overall society. We talked last week about the importance of getting involved in the political structures. And again, you know, a brother talked with a brother, and he mentioned that, you know, he got the impression that I was just saying that voting is the only way. No, I vote, and I go protest too, you know. And if push come to shove, we'll do what we have to do, because what does Allah say? Fighting is prescribed for you, even though you may dislike it, or you may like a thing which is bad for you, and dislike a thing which is good for you. You know, so we basically struggle in a way in which the opposition presents us. And so right now, what they say, that politics is basically, you know, basically a war without using weaponry. And then war is politics with weaponry. And so we have to basically have an understanding, we contemporize our deen, that we don't live in this bubble. That, again, if we're going to be here, we have to be here. You know, again, you know, we come a long way after slavery. There were many families that continued to practice Islam. There are people who have written books, and you can look online about families who continued to practice Islam. And then even people who knew that they didn't accept the way of life, the religion that was given to them by the former slaveholders, you know, they became unchurched. They believed in the Creator, but they became unchurched or unmosqued. You know, and then what happened, there were groups that came about that attracted these people. And we look at some of the groups, some of the earlier groups, the Moorish Science Temple. And then after that, the Nation of Islam. And then even the Ahmadiyya movement was very prevalent in the African-American community. And again, as a former jazz announcer, there were a lot of jazz musicians who became Muslim through Ahmadiyyaism. And then they would basically spread that in the African-American community. And so we have to do the research as to, you know, how did we get here? Dr. Sherman Jackson, he calls he uses the term heterodoxical Muslim sects. Heterodoxical Muslim sects. And again, heterodoxy is just, you know, the fact that you're taking portions of an orthodox religion, of an original religion, and using it. You know, you take a little bit of bean pie, you take a little bit of couscous, you take a little bit of collard greens, and you create something new. So we have to recognize that we've come a long way, but yet we still have a long way to go. And again, these groups, their role was to try to revive Islam amongst the African Americans. And again, because the overall society, what did they say? You know, that you're less than. You're less than. You're nothing. You know, your origins were slavery. And then when we start reading books like Before Columbus and all of that and start listening to different groups that, you know, culturally that gave us a sense of purpose, you know, and when you look at the other groups, they gave African-Americans a sense of purpose, messages like do for self, and creating a black nation and all of that. And then we can't forget the Universal Negro Improvement Association, founded by Marcus Garvey. You know, and if you read the book, The Autobiography of Malcolm X, you know, his father was a part of the UNIA, you know, and then the other groups were inspired by the UNIA. And one of the things that we forget about, that one of the major mentors of Marcus Garvey was a man by the name of Dus Muhammad Ali. He was a Sudanese Egyptian Muslim. And he basically, because if you look at what was the saying in the UNIA, one God, one destiny. He didn't say three gods, three destinies. One God, one destiny. You know, so there was aspects of Islam even there. So again, these groups, they formed in the early part of the 20th century, and they set the stage for a person like El-Hajj Malik Shabazz. When he learned the truth, you know, he came to Islam. And in this year, he would have been 99, inshallah. And he was still amongst us. 99 years old. I have an aunt that's 97 years old. I have a student in the Tai Chi class. He's 90 years old. So theoretically, he could have still been here, but, you know, Allah didn't see it that way. And so we are the bridge generation. We have to research and carry the message. First of all, learn the message, and then carry the message to the next generation. You know, so these are some of the things that we have to look at. Just wanted to bring this message today. You know, again, they'll be honoring him this week, but we have to, again, be walking El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz. You know, that we are the manifestations of his legacy. Because he's still, again, giving dawah from the grave through his speeches, you know, and his book. And it's a former of Sadaqah Jariyah. And again, Sadaqah Jariyah is an act which, again, continues to basically, whatever you do, it's ongoing benefits, you know, ongoing benefits. And so we have to ask ourselves, what are we going to leave behind? What is our legacy going to be? What would the people be saying about us? You know, we have to do the work. We are in a time of political upheaval, and we can't be asleep at the wheel, brothers and sisters. Young folks, you know, I was listening to Imam Zaid earlier today, and he was just talking about how the young people, and then he compared it with how, when you look at Ali, radiallahu anhu, and many of the people during the Prophet's time, they were young people. And they basically made a lot of noise in that society. They upset the whole society. These were people worshiping, you know, 360 idols. And then this man come and say, no, it's just one. Tawheed, just one. These were young people. And they made noise to the point that they changed the society to the point that we are still here today. This is what we have to look at. Are we going to practice a religion? Or are we going to practice a deen? Are you going to be a companion of the left, or are you going to be a companion of the right? What will be said about you? What are you sending forth? Because there'll be a lot of things waiting for you on the other side of the barrier between life and death. As I continue to remind you, this is just the middle womb. True life begins when we pass this barrier. That's when true life truly begins. We have to be of those to enjoin the good and forbid the wrong in all things. So if we in business, we need to enjoin the right and forbid the wrong. If we're in politics, we enjoin the right and forbid the wrong. And with our families, we enjoin the the right and forbid the wrong. And the prophet, peace be upon him, said, the best of you are those who are best to their families, and I'm the best of you because I'm the best to my family. So you start with yourself. And we talk about in spirituality, it says that healthy spirituality is when you have that healthy relationship with yourself, others, and your concept of God. That's the triad of spirituality and ruhaniyat. And that's, you know, you're filling it up as opposed to, you know, you're filled up with spirit as opposed to just being a walking skeleton, a walking dead. We have to be of those to facilitate the change in the society, but we can't change the society if we don't change ourselves. If we're still hooked on the dunya and all of its trappings, then we're going to work to maintain it. But if we see the dunya for what it is, we're going to seek to change it. If I've said anything that's inconsistent with what Allah has given us and the Prophet, peace be upon him, has real modeled for us, not role modeled, but real modeled for us, I take full responsibility for that. And if I've said anything in which you have gained some new insight, as always, all praise belongs to Allah. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له ملك وله حمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the best of what a man leaves behind are three: a righteous child who supplicates for him, ongoing charity, the reward of which reaches him, and knowledge that is active upon after him. A righteous child, ongoing charity, and knowledge. And so he simplified it. What is your relationship with your children? How much charity are you giving? What are you doing where a mosque can be constructed? Or what are you doing so that a school can be constructed? What are you doing so that a hospital or a health center can be constructed? Or, you know, something that people will benefit after we're long gone. And what knowledge are you leaving, even if it's just a poem? Or a book, or several books, so that people can benefit from it. As I said, Al-Hajj Malik al-Shabazz, I can't count the people who have came to me and said, I became Muslim after reading the autobiography of Malcolm X. And he gets a reward for that. He gets a reward for that by giving the dawah, because he showed the struggle. Again, he worked to get to a point of clarity, and he started to understand the true purpose of life, and he wasn't afraid of death. You know, again, Allah gifted him with a keen intellect, and he was able to discern truth from falsehood, so he was able to grow. And so we have to study him to really get to know us for the most part. Because, again, you know, Spike Lee did a little movie, but we have to study him from the perspective of Islam, because he was afraid to make the movie in the way it should have been made, showing how Islam influenced him, because he wasn't a Muslim. And so those of you who have that aspiration to make movies and write books and write plays, tell it from our perspective, because you'll give the dawah. You'll give the dawah. He was the embodiment of one who internalized the final message of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, on his last Hajj, he gave a sermon, and I'll take a portion of it. And you're talking about 1,400 years ago. He was talking about racism. So if his message wasn't a superior message, then this message wouldn't be relevant. He said, all mankind is from Adam and Eve. An Arab has no superiority over the non-Arab. A non-Arab has no superiority over an Arab. Also, a white has no superiority over the black, nor a black has any superiority over a white except by piety or taqwa and good action. Learn that every Muslim is a brother to every Muslim, and that the Muslims constitute one brotherhood. Nothing shall be legitimate to a Muslim which belongs to a fellow Muslim unless it was given freely and willingly. Do not therefore do injustice to yourselves. Remember, one day you will appear before Allah and answer your deeds. So beware, do not stray from the path of righteousness after I am gone. O people, no prophet or apostle will come after me, and no new faith will be born. Reason well, therefore, O people, and understand words which I convey to you. I leave behind me two things, the Quran and my example, the Sunnah. And if you follow these, you will never go astray. And all those who listen to me shall pass on my words to others, and those others again. And may the last ones understand my words better than those who listen to me directly. Be my witness, O Allah, I have conveyed your message to your people. This was his last message in the public forum. And so, again, find that, you know, it's available online. Look at the whole sermon and the wisdom, the hikmah in that sermon. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, again, didn't bring a religion. He brought a deen. He wanted people to change their way of life. And again, if you're engaging in behaviors that's inconsistent with Islam, work to change it. You know, what I do as a counselor, I help people to facilitate that change. And I know change doesn't occur overnight. Even when people stop smoking cigarettes or stop using drugs, it takes a year for your brain to believe you. It takes a year. That's the most relapses occur within that first year. But you have to start somewhere. And that's in when I was living in Saudi Arabia, the addicts over there, they had the saying, it was in Arabic, and they had it over here. Kuliyam bayu, one day at a time. And then you look at what the Prophet, peace be upon him, said. He said to live each day as if it's going to be your last. So if we are engaging in behaviors that's inconsistent with this deen, work to get rid of them. Because it's easy to find out what you're supposed to do and what you're supposed to be doing. What you're supposed to be doing and what you're not supposed to be doing. So, again, I've conveyed the message. رَبَّنَا لَا تُعَكِدْنَا إِنَّا سَيْنَا لَتَنَّا رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِسْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتُ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا ربنا ولا تهمنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا أهل الكون الكافرين. Our Lord, take us not to task if we forget or fall into error. Our Lord, lay not on us a burden such as you did lay on those who have gone before us. Our Lord, lay not on us a burden which we do not have the power to bear, and overlook our faults, and forgive us and have mercy on us. You are our protector, and grant us a victory over the disbelieving people.